Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Greek Mythology Baby. And before y'all get mad at me for not posting for 6 months again, I would like to apologize first off and second off. See, when I started off with this podcast, I was not hoping it would kind of blow up, and it is, because I checked it just yesterday and I'm getting a lot of plays, which is very unexpected. And if you have heard my first episode, that was before I hit puberty, and I was listening to it because that's the most played episode, surprisingly. You know, I've started off from scratch and I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it because I like talking, I guess. Anyways, we will move on because I know you have forgiven me because you love me. We will start off with part 3 of season 2, episode number 1. Too many numbers to keep track of, I know, but I promise, which I do every time, but I'll try to stay consistent this time. We will be posting, we as in me, myself and I, we will be posting the 4th segment of this episode next week. I am setting a reminder in my phone, on my calendar, everywhere. So let's begin. So we left off when Polydectes had challenged Perseus to go find and kill Medusa, which he knew was impossible because no one in history had ever managed to do that. And he was certain that Perseus would do it as he wanted to keep his image right and how he would not return. So, you know, Polydectes could finally marry Danny, which he has wanted to do for a long time, but Perseus didn't let him. So let's begin. After fleeing the palace, Perseus ran to the cliffs overlooking the sea. He stood at the edge and tried not to cry. The night sky was covered in clouds, as if even Zeus was ashamed to look at him. "Dad," Perseus said, "I've never asked you for anything. I've never complained. I've always made the right sacrifices and tried to be a good son to my mom. Now I have messed up. I opened my big mouth, made an impossible promise. I am not asking you to solve my problems for me, but please, I'd really appreciate some guidance. How do I get myself out of this?" At his shoulder, a voice said, "What a nice prayer." Perseus jumped, barely avoiding a fall of the cliff. Standing next to him was a 20-ish looking guy with an impish smile, curly brown hair and a strange cap with a brain only in the front. The man's clothes were odd too. Brown leggings, a close-fitted brown shirt, laced black shoes with a combination of boots and sandals. On the left breast of his shirt was sewn a pocket, and cleverly stitched above were the letters that didn't look Greek. UPS. Ups. Perseus figured the guy must be a god because no mortal would dress that dorky. "Are you my father, Zeus?" The newcomer chuckled. "Buddy, I'm not old enough to be your dad. Seriously, do I look a day over 1,000? I'm Hermes, the god of messengers and travelers. Zeus sent me to help you out. That was fast. I pride myself on quick service." "What are those symbols on your shirt?" "Oh," Hermes looked down. "What century is this? Sorry, I get confused sometimes." He snapped his fingers. His clothes changed to something more normal. A wide-brimmed hat will travelers wear to keep off the sun. A white tunic clinched at the waist and a wool robe across his shoulders. "Now, where was I?" "Right. Zeus heard your prayer and sent me with some cool magic items to aid on your request." Hermes snapped his fingers again. He proudly held up a leather bag the size of a backpack. "It's a sack," Perseus noted. "I know. After you cut off the head of Medusa, you can put it in here." "Wow, thanks. Also," Hermes reached into the sack and pulled out a simple bronze helmet. "Just a skull cap, like the king's foot soldiers wore. This little baby will turn you invisible." Seriously? Perseus took the cap and looked inside. Why is this inscribed made in Bangladesh? Oh, don't mind that. It's an unauthorized reproduction of Hades' Helmet of Darkness. But it works great, I promise. Perseus put on his cheap Bangladeshi knockoff helmet. Suddenly, he couldn't see his own body. That's cool, right? Now take off the helmet, cause I got something else for you. I had made these special. From his leather sack of fabulous prizes, Hermes pulled a pair of sandals. Tiny dove wings sprouted from the heels as the god tangled the shoes from their laces. They flapped around, straining for freedom like birds on leashes. I use a pair of these myself, Hermes said. Put them on and you can fly. Much faster than walking or swimming to Medusa, and since you'll be invisible, you won't have to log a flight plan or anything. Perseus's heart beat as fast as the dove wings. Ever since he was little, he wanted to fly. He tried on the sandals and instantly shot into the sky. Yeah, he whooped with joy. This is awesome. Okay, kid, you can come down now. Perseus landed, and Hermes explained what would happen next. First, you gotta find these three old ladies called the Gray Sisters. Why are they called that? Because they're gray. Also, they're ugly and immortal. And if they get the chance to, they'll cut you up and barbecue you. So why do I want to find them? They know the location of Medusa's secret lair. Even I don't have that information. Plus, they have a couple of extra items that will help you with your quest. What items? Hermes frowned. From his pocket, he pulled a piece of paper and read it. I don't know. They're not listed on the manifest. But I got this info from Athena, and she usually knows what she's talking about. Just start flying due east. After 2 days, you'll see the island of the Gray Sisters. Can't miss it. It's, gray. Thank you, Hermes. Perseus was so grateful, he tried to give Hermes a hug. The god pulled away. Okay, kid, let's not get excited. Good luck, and try not to run into any mountains, yeah? Hermes disappeared in a cloud of smoke. Perseus launched himself into the air, flying east as fast as his ankle-mounted dove wings could carry him. The island of the Gray Sister was definitely gray. A big gray mountain rose from the gray forest, blanketed in ash-colored fog. Slate cliffs dropped into a churning gray sea. This must be the place, Perseus thought, because he was smart like that. He put on his invisibility cap and descended towards a line of smoke rising from the trees, like someone had campfire going. In a dreary clearing next to the scum green lake, three old ladies sat around the fire. They were dressed in grey rags, their hair looked like dirty straw. On a spit over the fire was a big hunk of sizzling meat, and Perseus really did not want to know where the meat had come from. As he got closer, he heard the women arguing. Give me the eye, one girl. Give me the tooth and I'll think about it, the second one said. It's my turn, wailed the third. You took the eye when I was in the middle of the last season of The Walking Dead. You cannot do that. Perseus edged closer. The old ladies' faces were withered and sagging like melted masks. Their eye sockets were empty, except for the middle sister. Ugly number two, who had one green eye. The sister on the right, ugly number one, was enjoying a chunk of mystery meat, ripping out pieces with her single mossy incisor. The other two sisters seemed to have no teeth at all. They slurred unhappily from cups of Dan and not fat Greek yogurt. Ugly number one popped another meat in her mouth and chewed it with relish. I mean with pleasure, she didn't actually have any relish. Fine, she said, I'm done eating anyway, I'll trade you for the eye. That's not fair, said ugly number three. It's my turn, I don't have anything. shut up and eat your yogurt, said ugly number one. She yanked the tooth out of her mouth. Ugly number two put a hand over her eye and forced a sneeze. The eyeball popped into her palm and Perseus tried not to puke. Ready? Said ugly number one. We'll toss them on the count of three and no funny business. Perseus realized this was his chance to do something sneaky and very disgusting. He crept forward. One, said ugly number one. Two, as the gray lady yelled, three. Perseus stepped up, all his training at the Temple of Athena and his hours playing Call of Duty must have really improved his hand-eye coordination, because he snatched the eye and the tooth right off the air. The gray ladies kept their hands out, ready to catch their traded body upgrades. What happened? Asked ugly number one. You didn't throw. I threw the eyeball, ugly number two said. You didn't throw the tooth. I did so, shrieked ugly number one. Someone else must have taken it. Well, don't look at me, said ugly number three. I can't, screamed ugly number one. I don't have an eye. I have it, Perseus interjected. The gray sisters fell silent. And your tooth, he added. All three ladies whipped knives off under their rags and lunged towards the sound of his voice. Perseus stumbled back, barely avoiding becoming mystery meat on a spit. Note to self, he thought, invisibility doesn't work on blind people. Uglies number one and two knocked heads, fell down and started wrestling. Ugly number three tipped into the cooking fire and rolled out shrieking, trying not to smother her burning clothes. Perseus circled the perimeter of the camp. If you want your eye and tooth back, you better behave yourselves. There are property, wailed ugly number one. There are precious, cried ugly number three. Wrong story, you idiot, snapped ugly number two. The three sisters got to their feet. They looked creepy in the firelight, shadows dancing across their hollow eye sockets, knives blades glinting red. Perseus stepped on a twig. The sisters all turned towards him, hissing like cats. Perseus tried to steady his nerves. Attack me again, he warned, and I'll squish your eye right now. He gave the slimy orb a gentle squeeze. The gray sisters shrieked, clawing at their empty sockets. All right, wailed ugly number one. What do you want? First, the directions to the lair of Medusa. Ugly number three made a sound like a cat being stepped on. We can't tell you that. We promised to guard the Gorgon's secret. And to guard the weapon of the prophecy, added ugly number two. Right, Perseus said. I'll also need those weapons of the prophecy. The sister wailed some more and slapped one another upside the head. We cannot give you the weapons, said ugly number three. The Gorgons are counting on us. They'll hunt us down and kill us. I thought you were immortal, Perseus said. Well, true, ugly number one consented. But you don't know the Gorgons. They'll torture us, call us bad names, and if you don't help me, Perseus said, no tooth, no eye, ever again. He squeezed the eyeball a little harder. All right, ugly number one relented. Give us the tooth and the eye and we'll help you. Help me first, Perseus said, and I promise I'll release your eye and tooth immediately. Which was an easy promise to make because those things were disgusting. The cave of the Gorgons lies to the east, said ugly number two. Another 3 days as the crow flies. When you reach the mainland, you will see a high cliff rising from the sea. The cave is right in the middle, 500 feet up. A tiny ledge is the only approach. You will know the place. Just look for the statues. The statues, Perseus repeated. Yes, said ugly number three. Now give us our property. Not so fast. What about those weapons you mentioned, Perseus said. Ugly number three howled in frustration. She lunged at Percy and he dodged easily and she ran face first into a tree. Ow! The weapons? Perseus asked again, applying more pressure to the community eyeball. Fine, ugly number one cried. A mile south from here is a huge dead oak tree. The weapons are buried between the last two largest roots. But don't tell Medusa we gave them to you. I won't, Perseus promised. I'll be too busy killing her. The I, said ugly number two. The tooth. Yup, Perseus threw them both into the scum green lake. I promised I'd release them immediately, but I cannot have you following me for revenge. You better start diving before some fish decides that eyeball looks tasty. The Grey Sisters screamed and hobbled blindly towards the water. They dived in like a pack of raggedy walruses. Perseus wiped his hand on his shirt. Eyeball slime. Gross. He started up his sandals and flew south through the forest. He found the dead oak tree with no problem. Perseus dug between the two biggest roots and unearthed something like a manhole cover wrapped in a leather blanket. He unwrapped the oiled leather and was immediately blinded by the shininess of a round bronze shield. Its surface was polished like a mirror. Even in a gloomy forest, it reflected enough light to cause a traffic accident. Perseus peered into the hole he had dug. There was something else down there, something long and narrow, also swathed in oiled leather. He pulled it out and unwrapped a sweet-looking sword. Black leather, bronze, and leather hilt. He unshattered it and grinned. The blade was perfectly weighted and the edge looked razor sharp. He swung it at a thick oak branch just to be sure. The blade went through the branch, then through the trunk, cutting the whole tree in half like it was made of Play-Doh. Oh yeah, Perseus said. This'll work. Be careful with that, said a woman's voice. Perseus spun and nearly decapitated the goddess Athena. He recognized her right away. He had grown up in her temple with its many Athena statues, banners, and coffee mugs, drink coasters, and all. She wore a long white sleeveless dress. A tall war helmet crowned her long black hair. In her hands, she held a spear and a rectangular shield, both glowing with magic. And her face was beautiful but a little scary, the way a warrior goddess should look. Her storm gray eyes, unlike all the other gray stuff on this island, were bright and full of fierce energy. Athena, Perseus knelt and lowered his head. Sorry about almost cutting your head off. It's cool, said the goddess. Rise, my hero. Perseus got up. His sandals' little dove's wings fluttered nervously around his ankles. Are these weapons for me? I hope so, Athena said. I put the sword and shield here, knowing that someday a great hero would come along, someone worthy of ending Medusa's curse. I hope you are that hero. I think Medusa has suffered long enough, don't you? So you mean, wait, I'm confused. You're gonna change her back into a human? No, I'm gonna let you chop off her head. Oh, that's fair. Yeah, I thought so. Here's the deal. You will sneak into the Gorgon's cave during the day while they're asleep. That sword is sharp enough to cut through Medusa's neck, which is as thick as elephant hide. And the shield? Perseus's eyes lit up. Oh, I get it. I use it like a mirror. I look at Medusa's reflection rather than looking at her directly so she cannot turn me into a stone. Athena smiled. Very good. You have learned some wisdom in my temple. And also from playing God of War, Perseus said. There's this one level. Whatever, the goddess said. Be careful, Perseus. Even after Medusa's dead, her face will still have the power to petrify mortals. Keep it safely in that leather sack. Don't show it to anyone unless you want to turn to solid marble. Perseus nodded, mentally storing away the safety tip. What about Medusa's sister, the other two Gorgons? I wouldn't worry too much about them. They're sound sleepers. If you're lucky, you'll get out of here before they even wake up. Besides, you couldn't kill them even if you tried. Unlike Medusa, the other two Gorgons are immortal. Why is that? Heck, I don't know. Just roll with it. The point is, if they wake up, get out of there. Fast. Perseus must have looked pretty terrified. Athena raised her arms in blessing. You can do this, Perseus. Bring honor to me and Hermes and our god Zeus. Your name will live forever. Just don't screw up. Thank you, great goddess. Perseus was so overwhelmed, he tried to give Medusa a hug, but she backed away. Whoa there, big boy. No touchy the goddess. Sorry, I just... You're welcome. Now get going. Good hunting, Perseus. The goddess disappeared in a shimmer of light. In the distance, Perseus heard the Grey Sister screaming something about murder, and he decided it was time to leave. You're welcome. Now get going. Good hunting, Perseus. The goddess disappeared in a shimmer of light. In the distance, Perseus heard the Grey Sister screaming something about murder, and he decided it was time to leave. Well, guys, that was it. Part 3 of episode number 1 of season 2, that is Perseus Wants a Hug. Next Saturday, we will finally see what Perseus does in Medusa's lair. I also stopped here because I want to keep you all in suspense, which I have been for the past 6 months. Oopsies. But anyways, next Saturday, stay tuned for Perseus' great adventures. I guess I'm trying to make this more captivating, if that's working. Anyways, see you next time. Bye. Oh god, that was awkward. Bye-bye.